نستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear brothers and sisters, this is our seventh meeting referring to the month of Ramadan. And it will be the last meeting because inshallah Ramadan will be coming soon, hopefully this weekend or as early as Monday. We have been talking about the acts that violates our fast. And I will refresh your memory from last lecture. We said that eating and drinking violates the fast, and anything that substitutes eating and drinking, something that is nutritious, whether it is an IV or injection in the blood or anything that reaches your stomach, which takes care of or in the form of food in any form, this will break your fast. Also, menses or menstruation for women, and the postpartum for women also after birth, that violates the fast. If this happens the last minutes before iftar, then the whole day is being violated and she has to make up a day for that. Also, hijama or cupping, this also violates the fast. Also, sexual intercourse between a husband and his wife violates the fast, and this is the biggest violation that can happen. And the expiation for that is mentioned, inshallah, I will elaborate a little bit on that today. And also, any seminal discharge violates the fast, but it has to be accompanied with lust. It has to be accompanied with sensation to distinguish between the discharge that is seminal and the discharge that is pre-ejaculation fluid. The pre-ejaculation fluid does not break the fast. It breaks the wudu. You don't need to have a ghusl or a shower. Rather, you just clean yourself and you make wudu. So if it is not accompanied, any discharge that is not accompanied with sensation, it is not to be considered breaking the fast. Rather, it breaks the wudu. That is why you need to distinguish between the two, because some people think that any discharge breaks the fast, and that is not true. Or any discharge necessitates the ghusl or the shower, and that is not true either. These are basically the violations that we talked about before, and those violations have conditions. In order for them to violate the fast, three things have to be present. The person has to be knowingly is doing that while he knows that they violate the fast, and he has to be remembering that he is fasting, and also it has to be voluntary, not someone forcing him or her to do any of those things. Because if the person does not know that these things violate the fast, some of them acceptable, some of them are not. Someone to say, I don't know that eating food breaks the fast, it is not acceptable. But someone to say, I don't know cupping breaks the fast, it is accepted. His fast is good, and he doesn't need to make it up because not everyone knows that. And it has to be remembered. The person remembers that he's fast because the Prophet ﷺ told us if you eat or you drink while you don't know, then it is food and drink from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gave it to you. You have to do nothing, just take it as is. And if you remember while you're eating, refrain from that. Even if you have the food in your mouth, spit it out. Why did I say that? Because the contrary, if you are entering into the fast, and the food is in your mouth, and the adhan starts for the fajr, you don't spit it out, you eat. Even if you have a glass of water in your hand, you're about to drink, then it's time to abstain from food and drink. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, drink. Or if you are drinking it, finish it. But not when you're already in the fast. When you're already in the fast, if you remember, and there's food in your mouth, or in your hand, or water, spit it out. Otherwise, you break your fast. But today, inshallah, we will talk about rukhas as-sawm. Rukhas as-sawm, things that are permissible for you to not fast. When they are present, you have a rukhsa where you don't have to fast, and we will see some of them, you have to do something different than the other. We will go through that inshallah. But I want to elaborate a little bit on sexual intercourse. We know a companion who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he told him that I am doomed. He said, why? He said, I have slept with my wife when we were both fasting. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him if he could free a slave. He said, I can. He said, if you can fast 2 months, he said, I can. And we said, why? Because this is what really got him into trouble. And then he told him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, can you feed 60 people for each day too? He said, by Allah, I don't have any money to feed my family. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed silent. A person came donating some dates for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He took that and he handed it to him, and he said, feed your family with it. Because see, when you want to donate money, when you want to feed someone, you give from the excess of what you have. It is not an obligation upon you to donate money when you don't suffice yourself. So this man doesn't have food for his family. So instead of taking that food and giving it out to someone, his family is more deserving of it. He came to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a problem. He ended up with the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with food for his family. And this tells us the beauty of this religion. So the question that I believe one of the sisters asked, or one of the brothers that I wasn't prepared for, the answer, does the wife have to fall into the category of freeing a slave or fasting 60 days or feeding 60 people because she's involved in the act too? Now, there are differences of opinion among the scholars. Number one, there are two conditions for the sister or for the wife when she is involved with that. Either she doesn't know that this breaks the fast, like his companion, or she doesn't remember that she is fasting, or she is forced. Any of those three, she has to do nothing. Because we have excuses from the Sunnah and from the Quran that if you forget, you're forgiven. If you're forced, you're forgiven. If you don't know with certain detailed instructions about Islam, you are forgiven. Now, on the second hand, she knows and she remembers and she's not forced. What are the opinions? Two opinions for the scholars referring to that. Some of the scholars said that she doesn't have, if she is forced, of course we know that she doesn't have to do anything. She doesn't have to do anything. يجب عليها القضاء والكفارة, that is one opinion, إذا كانت مطاوعة. وجمهور العلماء هذا هو مذهب. So the consensus, not the consensus, the majority of the scholars, they said that she had to make up for that day and to do the expiation conditions, the kafara that we mentioned, freeing a slave or fasting 2 months or feeding 60 people. This is the majority of the scholar, she has to do that. Other scholars, they say, no, she doesn't have to do that. Let's see the majority of the scholars, why they said that. Number one, when the Prophet ﷺ gave command to the companion to do this or this or this, women fall under the command for men. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses men, women are included. This is a rule that we know unless there is an exception. And here there is no exception. So the Prophet ﷺ told him do this and this, so this applies for any woman who does that. Why? Because she is doing the same act. Assuming that this man committed adultery. And the Prophet ﷺ tells him that you need to be stoned to death. Isn't she the same way in that act? She gets the same way. So what is the difference between this and that? They have done, or they have done the same behavior. Number two, because she had violated the fasting month. The fasting month, we said this is sacred. And she has violated it just like her husband violated it, so she needs to be equal with him with the punishment. And also because it is a punishment that relates to sexual intercourse. And she had committed it. Her husband committed that, and she had committed that. Therefore, she had to be equal with that. So we have those proofs. Three proofs why the woman has to do the kafar and make up for every day or for that day that she has committed a sexual intercourse. Number one, because she is equal. Women are equal to men when it comes to commands, unless there's an exception. There's no exception. The second one is because she had violated the fasting month like her husband did, so she's equal with him. And number three, because this is a punishment that relates to sexual intercourse and she had committed it. These are the proofs for those who say that she has to do the kafara. The other opinion, for the other scholars, that they say that she doesn't have to do that, it is a little bit different. They say that the husband has to do it only, and there is nothing upon her regardless, because this is of the following. Number one, the command came to the husband, and the Prophet ﷺ did not say anything about his wife. And there is a rule that if there is a need to explain the ruling of Islam at a certain time, it is forbidden to delay that explanation for a different time. And there was a need to let his wife know that. This is their proof. Why? So he told the man, you need to do this and that, and then his wife, he did not say anything about his wife. But this is weak. Why? Because we say the man came asking about his problem. The wife did not come. So if two people committed zina, and one person came and confessed, we cannot pass a judgment on the other woman who did not come to confess. Why? Because she either has to confess, or there has to be four witnesses for her to testify. So this man came and he said, I broke my fast. She didn't come. So there is no need for the Prophet ﷺ to tell her that you need to do the kafar. This is basically the only proof that they have, is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to do the kafara and did not say that. And this is the opinion of the Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, and one opinion from Imam Ahmad. So the majority of the scholars say that she is equal with the man and some opinion of the Shafi'i school of thought that she doesn't. Which one you are convinced with? She has to or she doesn't have to? She has to. This is very obvious. She's fasting, she's not forced, she committed the sexual act, all of those things apply for men and women. It makes sense that she will be involved with the kafara. Tayyip, we have solved this problem. Also, this is the correct opinion, and this is what Shaykh Ibn Baz and Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah concluded from all of this, that she has to do the kafar just like the man. When we talk about the rukhas of the sun, the rukhsah, the time when a person doesn't have to fast, we know that the Islamic Sharia, all the teachings of Islam came and they are easy to carry out, no hardship in there. When hardship arises, easiness comes with it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in many ayat, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرِ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرِ. Allah wants easiness for you, He doesn't want hardship for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to not overburden you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not impose any hardship upon you in the religion. Now when we talk about hardship, we don't mean no hardship whatsoever. We mean hardship that is within our capabilities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give us more than that. If my capability to carry 50 pounds, He will not impose upon me 51 pounds. This is what we mean. But is there any hardship in fasting? Of course there is. Is there an hardship in prayer? Of course there is. Is it beyond our capabilities? No, it's not. That is what we mean when we say no hardship in the Sharia. But every obligatory act has hardship in it. But this is within our capabilities and it should not be necessitate any easiness. But when something comes harder, the rules comes with it. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also encouraged us, and he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes for you to take advantage of His permissibilities like He wants you to take advantage of His obligations or the things that there is a strict command to fulfill. Meaning, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy on you in certain things, don't reject that. Take it, accept it, and don't start to find excuses, well, I think I can and I can't and all that. Do it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lives easiness for you. There are many Islamic fundamentals, rules, referring to the jurisprudence, the principles of jurisprudence, that one of them, it says, al-mashaqqa tajlib al-taysir, hardship necessitates easiness. Al-haraj marfu' shar'a, hardship is lifted Islamically. And al-amr idha dhaqa ittasa', when the affairs of obligations became so narrow, it becomes wide. What does that mean? When it becomes so hard for you to fulfill something, Islamic rulings are so wide. Everything is open for you. The haram becomes halal. You're so hungry, you're about to die. This is very narrow ruling. You're about to die. Islam tells you, eat anything that keeps you alive. Anything, no haram. So this is very understood. At the same time, إِذَا تَسَعَ الْأَمْرُ ضَاقَ, when things become all wide open, it becomes very narrow. You're very hungry, you're about to die. Eat anything. Now you're eating anything and you're not no longer dying. Come back to the same rule where stay away from the haram because there is no need for you to stay where you are. You take what you need and you can take it. Right, this is an introduction for what we are going, inshallah, to get into. We know that fasting the month of Ramadan is a must on every person who is residing, who is mature, and who is sane. And we know that there are conditions for fasting and pillars for fasting and such. At the same time, there are things that violate the fast. We talked about that. Now let's talk about the rukhas. Let's see when can we not fast and what we need to do if we don't do that. Number one, al-marad. Sickness. When you are sick, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ. Anyone who is sick, then let him break his fast and make it up of different days. Those different days when? Anytime between this Ramadan and the next Ramadan. If you delay till after Ramadan, the next Ramadan, because of no valid reason, you are sinful. Because this is the time that you have between first Ramadan and next Ramadan. Can you delay it to certain days when fasting is easy and you don't have to fast long hours? Yes, you can. So you may make up your fasting days when the sun sets at 5:30. It's okay. You cannot say, oh, you're trying to make it easy on yourself. Well, we are supposed to make it easy on ourselves according to the rules of the Sharia. So if you are sick, this is what you do. You break your fast and you make it up anytime after Ramadan. You need to be careful because after Ramadan you have 6 days of Shawwal. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you fast 6 days of Shawwal, it's like you fasted the whole year. Because Ramadan, each good deed is 10. Ramadan is 1 month, times 10, that's 10 months. 6 days of Shawwal, times 10, that's 60 days. 60 days is 2 months. 10 plus 2, 12 months. How can you fulfill those 6 days? Some people did not fast at Ramadan, and this problem arises especially for women. A woman had the menses, she skipped 6 days of Ramadan, she needs to make it up. What does she do? She fasts the 6 days of Shawwal so she can have the fasting of the whole year, and then her other 6 days she does it some other time. Is this acceptable? No, it's not. Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ, he or she fasted the month of Ramadan complete, then they added to it 6 days. This woman did not fast 6 days, I mean the whole month of Ramadan. So when she fasted 6 days of Shawwal, automatically it goes to be credited for her missing days for Ramadan. She will not get the reward of fasting the whole year. So what does she have to do? She makes up the 6 days and then she fasts 6 days of Shawwal. And there is no need to make it right after another. You can fast Monday and Thursday, Monday and Thursday, and Monday and Thursday. That's 6 days, and it will be accounted. I pointed that because there are very weak opinions of some scholars, like if you do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His mercy will give you this, but we're not just relying on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without following His command. The hadith is very clear. Fasting Ramadan does not apply to a person who did not fast it complete. Man sama Ramadan, no exception. He fasted all Ramadan, then he followed it with that. So keep that in mind, especially for the sisters, to make sure you make up your days before you fast the 6 days of Shawwal. Al-Shaykh al-Fani is the a man who is approaching death or completely unable to fast. Very weak. This person doesn't have to fast the month of Ramadan. What does he need to do? He needs to make up for every day he breaks. He feeds a poor person, and that would be enough for him. Al-Mariyil, and then the Yurja Zawal Maradi. A person who is sick. And this sickness is not permanent. This person breaks his fast. I like to point one thing here, especially for sickness. Some people say, what kind of sickness that necessitates using that permission to break your fast? We say that this is relative to each person. Every person knows himself what is a real disease. A real sickness for you may not be a real sickness for me. Some people, when they have just the sniffles, they sit at home. Some people can't really function working with a headache. Some people, once they have the headache, they cannot do anything. You know yourself. If this sickness is hard for you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the rukhsa so you can break your fast and make up another day for it. You don't have to worry about people saying, oh, why are you not fasting today? Why did you break your fast? Oh, well, because I have a toothache, for instance. Why did you? Because I have to take medicine. They say, oh, from a toothache, you break your fast, man, this is... Don't listen to this. You know what you can take, they don't. The same way when you say muqtar. When you say I'm obliged to do certain things. This is also relative. Certain things, very hard for people, very easy for others. So, you know yourself, and you are the one who is going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and answer the question, not other people, so we leave it to you. This is like a person divorcing his wife under the state of anger. Now, if the person is in a state of anger to the point that he cannot distinguish what he is saying, this divorce is not valid. Do I know that as a sheikh? No. You come and you tell me, sheikh, I was very angry. And I say, well, the hadith says, if you have anger to the point that closed your mind, you cannot really think, it's not divorce. It's not, it's just considered love or just think of. Now, who do you know? Who does know that? It's you. I say, here's the rule. If you are in that state, then it's not divorce. You figure it out. You're the one who was angry. You're the one who's going to answer before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I pass the rule to you, and it's up to you to decide on that. طيب, المريض الذي يخاف زيادة المرض أو إبطاء البرد من المرض. A sick person who fears that if he fasts, his sickness may intensify or his recovery may be delayed. Now this person can break his fast and he will make it up because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want you to do anything that may lead you to death. And if you are sick and this fasting is going to lead you to more sickness, this more sickness may lead you to death, and this is not acceptable in Islam, so you break your fast and you make up for that. Al-Ajuz, the old woman, an old woman, and this is the same ruling that the old man, there's no difference. Men and women have the same ruling. So if an older woman who is very weak, she can break her fast and she can feed a person for every day. What if she cannot feed a person? What can she do? Nothing. Thank you. You don't have the money, you don't have to do anything. Just like the companion who came with a major problem, he ended up with food. Because he is the one who is the place for the zakat. He is qualified for sadaqah himself, so how can he give the sadaqah? Same thing with an older woman or an older man. If you don't have it, you don't do it, you don't give it. Al-hamil wal-murdi, a woman who is pregnant or nursing. If a woman fears for herself when she's pregnant, or fears for her a baby if she is nursing, or she is fearing for both herself and her baby if she's pregnant, and or if she is nursing, then she can break the fast and make up a day for that. What if the next Ramadan comes and she's still nursing or she's pregnant again? Then the same rule applies. She doesn't have to, she will feed a person instead of making it up. Rule number one, whenever you have a permission and you are able to make it up, you have to make it up. That is the priority, is to make up the fast, not to feed for another person. So if you cannot fast because of a continuous sickness or because of a pregnancy or nursing, then you feed for a person for every day that you break your fast because of that. The same thing, because there are hadith that says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave permission for fasting for a woman who is pregnant or a woman who is nursing to not fast. Another one, number seven, if you're traveling, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ. Sick or traveling. Now traveling, nowadays, it's not like before. You sit in the car or in the airplane, air conditioned, easiness and everything, so you travel from here to Houston. 45 minutes to an hour trip. Does that mean I break my fast? Yes. But brother, there's no hardship. It's okay. This is travel. If you really want to break your fast, you can. If you want to fast, it's okay too. Why? Because there's no hardship on you. But can someone look down at you because you're fasting, you're breaking your fast? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He told us if you're traveling, regardless of the state. And by the way, it's also relative when you talk about hardship. I tell you, myself, I hate traveling. I mean, I hate traveling with all means. So, to me, traveling is a hardship as is. It doesn't matter where I sit and how I sit. Looking at the bag is a punishment. Just looking at my bag or thinking of, I don't even do that. My wife does that. But when I see it sitting there, just bad feeling. I don't like traveling, period. And another thing that I don't like is I don't like moving. That's even worse. Moving from one house to another, this is a disaster. Even if somebody doing that for me, I don't have to do it. Just thinking of traveling, I worry until I travel. And when I get there, I worry about coming back. Like let's say I'm going to travel two months from now. 2 months, I'll be constantly worried about that day. And the same way. So, I'm saying that because I want to tell you, not everyone is the same. Just because traveling is so easy and facilitated doesn't mean it is simple for everyone. And you know, sometimes when you study, not sometimes, all the time, when you are studying, you get hungry. You're not actually doing physical work, but still you get hungry. So the same way, stress and worries and all that may do the same damage for you, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not condition it with anything. He said, just travel. If you go from here to any city that is, according to the majority of the scholars, approximately 50 miles, you break your fast and you make qasr for the salah. Some of the scholars said, anything that people understand, and the customs, they know that this kind of trip is considered traveling, then you follow that. I'm relaxed with that opinion. Because sometimes if you go from Arlington to Plano, you need to make custom. Pull over on the side of the road, you just leave the plane. Majority of the scholars accepted that and said that. But yeah, if you go from here to Houston or from here to Austin, you say, I'm traveling. The scholars looked at it this way. If you're traveling, like you have to set your suitcase and put your clothes and everything, kiss your kids and your wife, salam alaikum, take care and all that, this is traveling. You don't do that when you go from Arlington to Plano, right? Or from Arlington to somewhere distance. Tayyip, finally, dafa' darura. You break your fast if there is a necessity that is taking place and you need to do something about it, and you won't be able to do it because of your fast. If someone is traveling, and you you need to save that person drowning. Jumping in the water and taking those, you're going to break your fast. It's okay. Someone is burning, house is burning, and you need to do something to save that person, and you cannot do that because you're fasting, you're weak or something like that, you break your fast. Time of war. The conquest of Mecca, when the Prophet ﷺ was fasting, some of the companions were fasting and some of the companions were not. Some of the companions came to the Prophet ﷺ and they said that there are some of the companions who find it very difficult to fast. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ wanted to be an example for them, so he broke his fast. Some of the companions insisted on continuing their fast, so he ﷺ said, أُولَٰئِكَ الْبُصَاحُ أُولَٰئِكَ الْبُصَاحُ Those are the one who are the disobedient. Those are the one who are the disobedient. Why? Because you have a need for breaking your fast and you did not take an advantage of it. So this is hinting to us that when there is a need, an urgent need for breaking your fast, it's better for you to break your fast. Some of them were fasting. And when the Prophet ﷺ said, who is taking care of them? Who is serving them? He said, they said, the companions, we do. He said, you are better than them. Why? Because when you fast and you cannot take care of yourself, you're supposed to break your fast. And those who are taking care of them are the one who is better than them because they are not fasting, they're taking the ruqsah. So I will conclude with this. For those who have to make up a day for their fast are those who are traveling, a woman who is nursing, a woman who is pregnant, a man or a woman who is sick and hoping to recover. Those have to make up a day for every day they break their fast. Those who don't, who have to feed someone, an old man or an old woman, a sick person, who is in chronic sickness, those people, or those kind of fasting people, they can feed a needy person for every day that they break their fast. Concluding, my brothers and my sisters, that when we talk about rukhas, permissions to break the fast, these are applicable for a sick person, an old man or an old woman, a sick person who is, of course, that his sickness is not permanent, and a sick person who fears that it might be increasing his sickness or his recovery might be delayed, a woman who is pregnant or a woman who is nursing, a traveling person, and for an urgent need that you need to make or to help, it is permitted for you to break your fast. What we do with this, alhamdulillah, we have concluded the basic things that you need to know about Ramadan. Now Ramadan is coming to you, all you need to do is make your tawbah, make your repentance from now, prepare for the taraweeh, and know that the prayer of taraweeh is a mean for forgiveness. Fast Ramadan, your sins will be forgiven. Witness the night of Al-Qadr, your sickness will be, sins will be forgiven. Do Qiyam of Ramadan with your Imam, whether your Imam prays 11 rak'ah or 20 rak'ah or more. As long as you continue with that Imam until he finishes, it is considered for you a full night of Qiyam. All of these lectures that you can listen to it at imamhasankhalil.wordpress.com. You can also visit sunnahfollowers.net. Usually they're broadcasted at the same time as you can see for those who cannot make it or for the sisters who are staying at home. Inshallah, this Ramadan everything will be broadcasted on Sunnah Followers from Center Masjid, for Taraweeh prayers and for the lecture in between Taraweeh. So inshallah, I pass the word. If you are at home, you cannot make it here, you have a chance inshallah to sit at home and listen to it. And And if you haven't listened to it and you need some more lectures or different lectures, just go and visit imamhasankhalil.wordpress.com. You will find, inshallah, many lectures there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for taking the time and coming, seeking the knowledge. And inshallah, we'll see you after Ramadan. This will be the last lecture. Until after Ramadan, we'll come back, inshallah, and we'll do some more lectures, topics that, inshallah, will appeal to you, topics with the... You got my email, hkhalil1212@hotmail.com, or imamhasan@sendamessage.com. Send me emails, send me your suggestions, your criticism, if you have constructive criticism, requests, how to better ourselves, or how to better our lectures, or anything that, inshallah, you see constructive, please do, don't hesitate to do that. Jazakumullah khairan again. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.